This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you, America. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. At this time, I usually say, please open your King James Bibles to the current book of the Bible we are studying, book, chapter, verse, and line. But today, we're taking a field trip. Today is America's Day of Repentance and Praise. However, please open your King James Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching. Now, we're still going to pray for America, but now we're going to focus on the body of Christ individually. That the body of Christ be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be prayers for that. There will be prayers for healing and deliverance. That's 6 p.m. every Wednesday. And everybody's invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The farmer's market, healthy, Christian, wonderful produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, America's Day of Repentance and Praise. Let's start out just right by praising Him. All over America, the Hebrew word for hallelujah is a praise word. All of America, lift up your hands to God and say, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. All America, praise the Father.
Praise you, Father.
Praise the Son.
Praise you, Son.
Praise the Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Holy Spirit.
Jesus is Lord of America.
Jesus is Lord of America.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we the people thank you, love you, and praise you for this America. Even in your Bible, you prophesied there would be a great nation, and you have made America great because of your blessings. But Father, we've taken a wrong turn. We're sinking in the sinkhole of sin. We were going right, and we took a dramatic lift. But Father, we're remembering your word, Isaiah 43:26, that you said, put you in remembrance of your word. Let us reason together. So Father, we the people of America, put you in remembrance of your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. For you said, if my people call by my name, Christian, will humble themselves, fasting, we've been fasting, and pray, and seek my face, not your hand, not asking for stuff, you, Lord, we want you in America,
yes, Lord.
And turn from our wicked ways, repent. Father, you promised you would hear from heaven, you'd forgive our sins, and you heal our land. Your promise is a yes and amen. You're not a man that you shall lie. So, Father, all of America now, we're gathered together to confess our sins and repent of them. And, Father, we ask your Holy Spirit will move mightily in this land, even now. And, Father, that Jesus will again be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book. We ask you make America holy again, free again, safe again, peaceful again, law-abiding again, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that you hear us, and we know you hear us always, and we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus. And all America, we say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, before we begin, we've got a very special guest. We've got Uncle Sam here. Let's have a hand clap for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam, do you have anything to say to the people of America?
Yes, America, Uncle Sam wants you to repent.
You better obey him. Don't make Uncle Sam come down there. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, before we repent, we want to learn that America is in the Bible. So let's find that out very briefly. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob was blessing his 12 sons. And when he got to Joseph, he said, Joseph, you will be a fruitful bough, and you will go over the wall. All of our people are very poetic. It was a metaphor. He means you're going to have a lot of descendants, and you're going to leave the Middle East. And then in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob was about to go home to God. Remember, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. So Jacob said, Joseph, bring your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and let me bless them. So Joseph brought Ephraim and Manasseh. This is Genesis 48. And Jacob said to Ephraim, Jacob Israel, Ephraim, you will be a multiple of nations, a multiple of nations, a commonwealth of nations. And Manasseh, you will be a great nation. You'll be a great nation. Now we're going to come back to Ephraim and we're going to come back to Manasseh to associate this with the United States of America. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, but they split. They had a spat. Two of them, Benjamin and Judah, separated, changed their name to the House of Judah. We love our brother Judah. The other 10 tribes of Israel, the House of Israel, were captured by the Assyrian Sennacherib. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 30, Isaiah 36 and 37. First of all, they went north to Samaria, but history documents that the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, and then they migrated into Europe, Ireland, Scotland, and England. But they stopped calling themselves Israel. They chose the name of a larger tribe, Ephraim. Now remember, the blessing on Ephraim, you'll be a multiple of nations. Ephraim is Great Britain. Okay, but Manasseh had a little spat with them, cause tyranny arose, and Manasseh and all the others wanted to worship God as they pleased. So some of Manasseh went to Holland, some went to Canada. But the larger bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel, Manasseh, remember, a great nation, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean and settled these United States of America. The first thing they did, they had brought an old rugged cross over on the Mayflower, and they put it up on the sandy beach, and they dedicated this land to the glory of God the Father, Yahweh, and God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus. Our first schools were in churches. Our children went to school to learn to read the Bible. Lord, have mercy. So now, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10, excuse me, through 16. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candles, one like a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire, his feet like a defined brass, his voice as a sound of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as a sun shineth in his strength. The seven stars in the Greek is Andrio, which means messenger, the messenger of the seven churches. The sword is the word of God. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. John, the Apostle John, was taken in the Spirit to the Lord's Day, and the Lord Jesus dictated to him the entire book of Revelation. Now, there were seven churches in Asia, and those are the correct names, and they were in a circle. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, these things happened to them in the Bible for an example for those at the end of the age, we're at the end of the age. So seven is God's perfect number, Christ, Jesus, he's perfect. The seven churches in Asia represent all of the seven, all the different seven types, not seven, but types of churches on round planet Earth, and especially the types of Christian churches in America. And of course, the earth, the world is round. Now, Revelation says there are only two of those churches that please the Lord Jesus. They are Smyrna, which means fig, and they are Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. You can find why Smyrna and Philadelphia type. Now, remember, there are types in America, in the world. Why they please Jesus, that's documented in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Smyrna and Philadelphia types tell you who those are who say they are Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. We love our brother Judah. Well, who are these imposters? They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil, that old serpent who beguiled Eve there in the garden. Now, it's time now for us to repent. What I'm going to do, I'm going to confess the sins of these five type churches. Remember, they're all Christian, but they have different names now. But there are lots of them in America. I'm going to confess their sins, and Uncle Sam is going to repent of their sins. But what I want you to do all over America, when Uncle Sam finishes repenting, I'll say America, and I want all of us to say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's practice.
I agree in Jesus' name.
Okay, here we go. The first is the Ephesus type. Ephesus means permitted. This type of Christian church permits traditions of men to make void the Word of God. Oh, maybe one verse and 3 points, but they do not teach book, chapter, verse, and line. As Paul said, read this epistle to the church. Isaiah 28 said, line by line. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They do not honor the word as they should. Uncle Sam, will you repent for Ephesus?
Yes, Lord. We come before you, Father, as your church, Father, and we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for removing you as our head, for removing the word, the very word, Jesus Christ, of us, Lord, from all the church in us, Lord. Father, we just ask for forgiveness, Lord, for making traditions of men our head instead of you, the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. The second type Christian church in America that does not please Jesus is called Pergamos. Pergamos means high and lifted up and commerce. Very big, very proud, and money, money, money. Lord have mercy. All you ever do is hear money. Very proud, very big. Pride goes before a fall. Uncle Sam, would you repent for Pergamos?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, which has made money our God, which has removed you as our head. Father, we come to you and we ask for repentance, Lord. We ask for repentance for not seeking you, but seeking all these monetary things, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask for forgiveness of this huge sin, Lord, that we've committed against you and against your house, Lord, for making your house a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer and word. Father, forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, the third type church in America that does not please Jesus is Thyatira. The Thyatira Christian Church worships Apollyon. You say, what? A Christian church worships Apollyon? Yes, but they think Apollyon is Jesus. In Revelation chapter 9, you will see the king of the bottomless pit. He's about to appear Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's called Abaddon, and he's called Apollyon. Abaddon means destruction, Apollyon means perdition, to turn to ashes from within. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the devil, called also that, King Tyrus, has been sentenced to perdition, to turn to ashes from within. So why would a Christian church worship Apollyon instead of Jesus? Because of a lie fly proverb that began in the 1830s by a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald. She said that Jesus is going to fly you away before the Antichrist comes. Not so. We've studied Revelation. The sixth trump is the Antichrist. The seventh trump is Jesus. And in Ezekiel chapter 13, in King James Version, Jesus says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. These Christians love Jesus. They go to the church all the time. They pray. And they're going to be deceived. But they're going to worship the devil instead of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Uncle Sam, will you repent for Thyatira?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, and ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for believing in a strong delusion instead of believing your word and following your heart and following your word. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, of having the blinders of the enemy pulled over our eyes and over our hearts and over our ears, Lord. We ask for forgiveness of this, Lord, and we repent of this sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
And America,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, the fourth type Christian church in America that does not please Jesus is called Sardis. Sardis means tolerance. This type Christian church tolerates sin not only in the congregation, but in the pulpit. This type church calls evil good and good evil. This type church, even in the pulpit, offends God, and they absolutely do what Jesus calls an abomination, men with men and women with women. Now, I want to say, all of America and the world, I do not hate you if you have that aberration. It's not a physical problem. You have a psychological problem. God made us male and female. I used to have a school class full of these, and I loved every one of them. But it is an abomination, and it is in the church today. So, Uncle Sam, will you please repent for the sin of Sardis?
Yes, Lord, we come before you as your church, Lord, and ask for forgiveness of this sin, Lord, for asking for forgiveness, Lord, of the sin of just mixing with the fallen world, Father, for bringing sin into your house, Lord, into the house of God, and not staying true to your word. Father, we ask for repentance of this sin, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you heal us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And America, I agree in Jesus' name. The last church that does not please Jesus in America is Laodicea. This would be lukewarm. Jesus said, be cold or hot. He said, lukewarmers, you make me sick to my stomach. I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. This type Christian church, they go to church. They're very good people. They have their Bible. But they do not operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. They do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They do not know how to let the Holy Spirit intercede for them with groanings which cannot be uttered, that they pray according to Father's will. They are dead, like trees plucked up twice at the root, but they don't know that. Lukewarm. You don't want to make Jesus vomit. So, Uncle Sam, will you pray for Laodicea, the lukewarmers?
Father, we come before you, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness of this sin that's deep in the church, Lord, the sin of sitting dormant in your blood, Father, covered in your blood and not exercising the authority of it, Lord, for not moving in your word and with your word, exercising the authority of Jesus Christ, that the mandate that he put on us, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, of just being nothing and just sitting there and not performing the deeds that Jesus called us to do. Father, we ask for forgiveness of this sin, and we ask for healing of this sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. America,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, to the best of our ability, we've repented for the sins written in Revelation for the Christian church in America. But Lord have mercy, America has sinned. If I try to name all of those, we'd be here until next year. However, the Bible tells us that there are four hidden dynasties that have come from the devil to destroy America. They are metaphorically called in Joel chapter 1, the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, and the caterpillar. Boy, little wormy insects there. Creepy crawlies, right? Okay, that's a metaphor. The four hidden dynasties, but they're not hidden anymore. They're very obvious. The first one is political. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, the first beast there is the political system of the Antichrist. That second beast is the Antichrist himself. The political system is now operating to destroy America. They're communists, socialists, Marxists. Now, the second hidden dynasty is the economy. Inflation, higher gas prices. Our wonderful President Donald John Trump, in 3.5 years, made America energy independent. And boy, was our gas prices low. But the first day that Joe Biden took office there, I can't tell you how disgusting this is. He took away all of our places that we could have create fuel in America. And we have to buy our fuel from our enemies, from Iran. Iran says death to Satan, from Russia, from Venezuela. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. That's the economy. The third hidden dynasty, not hidden anymore, is the communist Marxist political system of the Antichrist, who's caused inflation, is now telling America to bow the knee at the God climate. Climate change. Have mercy. But last but not least, the fourth hidden dynasty in America is the educational system. Remember, our first schools in America were in churches to teach our people to read the Bible. Now our children are teaching all kind of gender rot when God made us male and female. I want to tell you something, America. That's not a body problem. You've got a psychological problem. You've got a sin problem. So we need to help you and love you with that. So I happen to know that Uncle Sam has two great parents in heaven. God bless you, Mr. and Mrs. Merson. They were school teachers in Florida, I think for about 30 years. So if there's anybody who's capable and qualified to pray for our schools in America, it's Uncle Sam. By the way, he's my twin friend, Scott Merson, owned the produce place. Uncle Sam, will you pray for the school system in America?
Yes, Lord, we lift up our school system to you, Father. All the way from VPK, Lord, all the way up to the top education systems in the colleges, Lord. Father, we ask for forgiveness, Lord. We just bring forth, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for removing you, number one, from our schools, removing your morals, removing everything there is to do with you of our schools. We ask for forgiveness for removing the word of God out of our schools and from our children, Father. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness of this sin, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you rise up your strong army right now, Lord. Your army as you are rising them up, Lord, to be in the proper positions, Lord, of authority and remove all these demonic forces from our school boards. Remove these demonic forces out of our classrooms. Remove these demonic forces out of the political system, which is trying to control our children and make them wards of the state, Father. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you just put back Jesus into the schools. Put back your word into the schools. Put back your order into the schools, Father. We ask for a clearing out of the enemy, Lord, and a marching in of your people, Lord, and your authority and your moral standards, Father. You are our standard. Jesus as our head. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And America, we say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, you've heard of the American dream, and you probably think it's to have a lot of money and have your own home. Not so. Our founding fathers originated the American dream. You know what our founding fathers called the American dream? That every citizen in the United States of America would be saved, that Jesus would be their Lord, and the Bible their book. Well, all America's listening now, and all of our friends in other places. So this is your chance, America. If you'll pray this prayer of salvation and mean it, America can be saved. Here we go, mean it in your heart. America. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Save my soul. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Sanctify me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And put me in the place you want me in the body of Christ. And use me. To win many souls.
To Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, you're going to hear Uncle Sam give you my telephone number. I ask you to call me. You'll get my voicemail and leave your confession there. I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. By the way, all of you precious people calling me, there's no way I can call you back. On my voicemail, it says, please leave your prayer request. I don't say your telephone number. I can't call you back. Leave your prayer request and I'll pray for you. But you might also like to email me. Here's my email. Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. That's Shari Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. And now, America, let me bless you. America, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you America perfect in every good work to do his will. Work in you America that which is well pleased in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now next week, we'll resume our regular teaching in Hebrews, and we love you and praise you. Now this is your second best friend, America, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend, America, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're all dead in trespasses and sin. The wages of sin is death. We needed a perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. No greater love than this that a man lay down his life for his friend. America, praise you, Father.
Praise
we
you, Lord.
Call forth. Jesus is Lord of America.
Amen.
The Bible is the book.
Hallelujah.
We are one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you, Father.
Praise you,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
And we love you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
And I love all of you with all of my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time we get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
In sin remain. In sin.
breath in our lungs. We were made for his love, but we ran from the light. But he wouldn't give up on his stories and songs. So he took up the cross and he laid down his life. Then he did what he said when he rose from the dead. And he's coming back again. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? We didn't know what love was till he came, and he gave love a face, and he gave love a name, and he gave love away like the sky gives the rain and sun. We were looking for heroes, he came looking for the lost. We were searching for glory, and he showed us a cross. Now we know.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
What a lot of folk call blessing, what they really mean is happiness.
Dr. Tony Evans says happiness comes and goes with our circumstances, but what the Lord wants to offer is something deeper.
What God says is, I've not only come to give you life, I've come to give you life, and when that runs out, life more abundantly, overflow.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. People think of a blessing as a little extra something we get from God. But today, Dr. Evans explains it's really intended to be more of a lifestyle than an event. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 as we join him.
We've called this series, which we conclude today, How to Be Truly Blessed. The Beatitudes have lined up for us the character of God's kingdom people and the blessings that accrue to those who are, in fact, authentically blessed. Jesus is with his disciples and given them 8 blessings, using the word blessed 9 times to show them what it means to be truly blessed. He says you've got to start off by declaring spiritual bankruptcy, verse 3. Your inability to fix yourself, because then heaven will come to your aid. And then you've got to be mournful over your sin so that God can comfort you with his forgiveness. Then you've got to be meek or gentle, willing to submit yourself to the will of God, because then God can trust you with the inheritance that he has for you. Then you've got to have an insatiable desire for righteousness, because that's the only hunger God is interested in satisfying. And then when God does satisfy you, you've got to be willing to come and satisfy somebody else. Blessed are the merciful. Don't burn the bridge over you yourself must cross, because you too will receive mercy. Then he says, blessed are those who are undefiled, undiluted, unmixed. They have a God world view as a way of life, the pure in heart, because those are the ones who will see God intervene in their circumstances. They will see God for themselves. They won't have to piggyback on somebody else's testimony. Finally, when you become this kind of person, it will produce resistance, rejection for you. There will be persecution, insults, and evil said about you. But that's okay, he says. Rejoice. Twice you're blessed. Once you're blessed on earth, because what's coming to you in history will be yours. You'll inherit, and then you'll be blessed in heaven. That God will give you an even greater reward. Now that is the essence of the blessed life, that essence that reflects the character of Christ being manifested in and through the life of the believer. I would like to conclude our series with pursuing the blessed life, going and getting it. It's one thing to hear sermons about it. It's one thing to feel good because of it. It's another thing to have it. Pursuing the blessed life. Over and over again, he's saying, blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed has become a popular word today. Everybody is looking for their blessing. But how do you really go get what God has with your name written on it? Well, let's make sure we understand the meaning now. By blessing, what I mean is the inner well-being of character that overflows into the external stuff that we wish to enjoy. You know when you are being blessed, when the internal and not the external determines your well-being. See, what a lot of folk call blessing, what they really mean is happiness. The problem with happiness is happiness depends on what happens. It's circumstantially driven. Paul says in Romans 14, verse 17, that what God is offering in his kingdom is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, it'll show up in other stuff. But many of us know people who have a house who don't have much of a home. Many of us who know people with money who aren't very happy. No, he's talking about, let me put it this way, building a playground in your heart. He says the kingdom of God in Romans 14, 17 is not eating and drinking, he says. It's not the stuff out here that you put in here. In other words, you don't get truly blessed by trying to make the external help the internal. Eating and drinking, it's stuff out here that you put in here. He says the way you are truly blessed is by the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, that what's in here infiltrates the stuff out here. We've all taken our kids to McDonald's, or ourselves. But when you take kids to McDonald's, you can take them for eating and drinking. You know, Happy Meal, you know, Quarter Pounder, or number three. You can take them for eating and drinking, but most of us, when we take our kids to McDonald's or Burger King or whatever it happens to be, we tend to lean, if it's convenient, to one with a playground. Because they build it with a playground now, which makes going to McDonald's more than eating and drinking. It's now enjoying the environment of joy, even if I'm not eating and drinking, because there's a playground. They have built something more than simply eating and drinking. They built a place of joy. God says, when it comes to being blessed, don't be satisfied with the stuff out here that you put in here, eating and drinking. Make sure you got a playground in your soul. So that if, even if you're not eating and drinking, you're still having fun, because attached to eating and drinking is something bigger. It has to do with inner well-being that overflows. That's why 1 Peter 1:8 calls it joy inexpressible. When I took my kids to one of these places, they would skip the eating and drinking and run straight to the playground. Sometimes we had to make them come off the playground to the eating and drinking. Because when the playground was there, the eating and drinking wasn't the priority, even though it was appreciated. God is interested in a playground in your soul, not simply the external stuff that you pick up along the way. Let me show you a verse you need to memorize. You got to memorize this verse. If you don't memorize this verse, shame on you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This abundance is wrapped up in a biblical word that we talk about a lot. But I want to go a little deeper with you now. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance, remember, abundant life, abundance for every good deed. Let me read that again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, do you see the word all up in there? All. The word is grace. It is the word that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. What is grace? Grace is all that God is free to do for you because of what Christ has done. It is all that God is free to do for you because of what Christ has done. Grace is the inexhaustible supply of God's goodness doing for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. It is the inexhaustible, because it's abundant, grace of God, goodness of God, whereby he can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now, let me give you some good news. God has already pre-qualified you. You ever get a credit card telling you you have already passed and you didn't even apply? You didn't even apply and you've already passed. They have already qualified you for this credit limit. They have pre-qualified you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you got pre-qualified. That's why you don't even technically even have to ask God to bless you. In Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Translation, everything God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. It's not that you have to ask God to bless you because you've already been pre-qualified. Everything that's part of your inheritance in history that he plans to do for you, he's already deposited. Okay? So the issue is withdrawal. How do I get it? Not do I have it? How do you get the abundant life that God has promised, which is the blessed life? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to start in the right place from the inside out, because what God is offering does not start with eating and drinking outside in. It starts with what the Holy Spirit is doing in the heart and the soul of the individual. And if that's not there, if that's not priority, then you will not see what is on deposit being withdrawn. So that means I got to explain something about how you get this blessed life, because everything is already there. God is able to do it all. So we don't have a God problem because we have a grace provision. This abundant life is the capacity to enjoy and participate in your inheritance, the will of God for you. Then what's missing? Not the possession of grace. Here's what's missing: the flow of grace. The Bible says you can have the grace of God in vain. That means you have it, but it's of no benefit to you, but you have it. God has made available all grace, but the all grace can be there in vain, because having a shower doesn't mean you're clean unless you take a shower, which means you must engage, turn the nozzle on, to get the flow of water that is needed for the cleaning to take place. There's enough grace for everybody in the house. God doesn't have favorite kids. Every one of your house, your sanctuary, your persons have accessible, if you belong to Jesus Christ, the grace that is needed for you to be a full participant in the abundant life, but the nozzle must be turned on. So that raises the question, how do I do it? How do I get there? How do I grab grace so that I am transformed, okay? Here it is. I want to show you two verses in one chapter. Turn to the book of James. They both use the word blessed. Verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Here's a blessing for a person who's persevering under a difficult set of circumstances called a trial. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. God delivered Israel from Egypt. They were trapped, and he set them free supernaturally, opened up the Red Sea.